I did forget that it was Sybil Shepherd and Ryan O'Neill. I think is that
I
the last
didn't.
time I saw it? It was before I knew either of those people as like
That's
entities.
possible, yeah.
I'm adding it to the very small number of Ryan O'Neill movies I've seen.
What's up, Doc?
Yep.
Did you guys listen to the Sakai hasn't seen yet? There's some interesting stuff that they like trivia and stuff that I didn't know about it that Ellie Wentz brings to the table as well.
Because she read the entire Barbra Streisand
Yes.
like
Also,
doorstop memoir.
I don't want to spoil it too much for Brandon, but Scott watched like the movie with like commentary from Barbra Streisand, where
Yeah.
apparently she only did like
15
18
minutes.
minutes, like scattered throughout the movie, and like all of the commentary is just her being like, "Oh my God!"
Wow, you couldn't
Like,
do
wow,
that. You're
like as if
beautiful.
she's just watching.
You couldn't do that
Oh my
today.
God. And welcome to another episode of Why Did We Watch This? The podcast where three friends sit down, watch a troubled movie, have a nice drink, talk about what was good, what was bad, and how we could all do it so much better. We are back this week with a mini episode. I am your host for this week, Lee Delahanty.
I'm Chris Revell.
And I am Brendan Trischler.
That's right. That's all of us. That's three of
All of
us.
us. That's
The
three. One, two, three.
three brosketeers.
We are
Trying that
bros.
exercise.
Listen,
Yeah,
no, it's no, that happened organically. It's what they call us in
yeah,
town.
let's add that to our cover art.
that's right. So in we'll be in this episode talking about the movie we'll be covering in the next 2 weeks, and then we'll have a little chit chat about something silly and inconsequential, which is nice every now and then in this
Yes,
day
it
and age.
is.
So in 2 weeks we will be watching and covering the movie Chances Are, 1989, directed by Emil Ardolino. I've never heard of this director. Have you?
Yes, I know Emil Ardolino because he did at least the first Sister Act, possibly both
Oh,
Sister
so
Acts.
he's done movies that are good.
He has,
Okay.
yes, and he
Not
also
this one.
no, not so much. No, I don't know how much is his fault per se, but
No.
yeah, he also directed a quasi movie, quasi pro shot version of the New York Ballet's Nutcracker with Macaulay Culkin as the Nutcracker. Do any of you guys remember this from being a
No,
90s kid?
I do not.
No, I don't think I do.
Okay. I was just curious because I feel like it was something that I remember seeing commercials for a lot as a child, just
Wow.
like before other movies as a preview and shit like that. But yeah, so he did do things. Not to bring down the room, he died of AIDS related complications, I believe, not too long, like fairly early on in the 90s, I want to say. So like he doesn't have a very long run of
Damn.
films for obvious
Yes.
reasons.
That's sad.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, let's try and take it back up, I guess.
Yeah, bring it back up. Well,
Yeah.
this movie also will be starring Sybil Shepherd, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan O'Neal, and Mary Stuart Masterson. So a strong 80s, 90s based cast.
Yeah, good folks.
Yeah, these
Haven't
are
seen
good
Sybil
people.
Shepherd in something in a long time.
Yeah.
And of course, it being almost Valentine's Day, it'll be our rom-com episode, hence it's the
True.
topic. Yes.
It is sort of, yeah, it is a rom-com. But is
It's a
it.
very unusual rom-com.
Should it be? We don't
Yeah,
know.
it's of
We'll
course
find
like,
out in 2 weeks
should
about
there be
that.
this many love interests in the movie? Should you have a daughter who is someone's love interest? I don't know.
It's truly an infinity amount of questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, we will need something to sippy sip away at while we watch this movie. What will we be drinking?
So to sippy sip while we watch this movie, we'll be making a glove compartment orange, which is 2 ounces of tea, TBD as to which tea. We're probably just going to find one that sounds like it'll pair well. 2 ounces of bourbon, 1 ounce of orange liqueur, half an ounce of apple cider syrup, vanilla extract, cinnamon, and orange zest. Basically, just make the tea as you would normally. Mix all the liquid ingredients, add a splash of vanilla extract, a dash of cinnamon and orange zest, and drink while hot.
Nice.
I am very excited for this. It has been quite icy here, and I'm ready to warm up. It sounds really good.
Yeah, it'll be nice to do a hot drink again.
Are you seated for this, Chris?
I'm seated.
Do kids still say that, or is that we moved on from that? Have the
Yeah, I think
children
we've
moved on?
moved on,
It's no
unfortunately.
longer in.
I can't keep track.
I mean, I
Impossible to keep
barely
track.
can. I've had to use some like pretty serious deductive reasoning to figure out what certain things mean just through context clues, because like blinkers are a thing now, but that seems to have something to do with like vapes.
That's
That
weird.
sounds right.
Blinkers like indicators in your car?
Right, like turn signals.
Right,
Turn your
but I believe
blinkers
it's
on?
referring to the light
I
that
see, I
flashes on a
see.
vape.
Bizarre.
Yeah, why did we need? I don't know. Anyways.
Well,
I mean, while we answer that question, we can also solve the mystery of 6-7. I cede my time. I apologize.
Well, in 2 weeks, maybe we'll have the answer to that as well as something to talk about with Chances Are. In the meantime, we're forever in need of things to talk about in between big movie apps.
Forever.
Forever always. In need. We're always shooting the shit going, what are we going to talk about?
It's our curse.
Up until the last minute. And then, but I actually had organically something on my mind this time that I thought would be good. And then y'all helped me crystallize it into what would be good for the format, which is that I was thinking about, I had started with a certain character in mind that had come across my desk again. Ooh. It reappeared on my desk after a long time off. Came up for review, and I was just like, man, this is just like got to be one of the like best like characters like of all time. Like it would be in, you know, like, and I remember thinking like as a litmus test for like, are you like a valid person or are you like a piece of shit? Like if you don't like this character, you must be a piece of shit. Like there must be something wrong with you if you don't like this character.
Like how could you not? How could you not be obsessed?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's the metric that would apply to all of these characters that we're about to talk about.
I hope not, because that's not the metric I used.
No, it's not the metric I used either. But it's the first thing that I thought of. That was the thought I had that then kicked this idea off. So I was like, what can I do with like just wanting to kind of talk about our favorite characters? Uh-huh. And Brendan, you had the idea of doing a draft where we kind of all go around in turn and like pick characters. Are we going for four characters?
Four. I think four is good. Yeah. Yeah. So basically we just like our mount character more, if you will, just like our mount character more.
And these can be from like any form of media. They do not have to be from movies. Can be from TV, games, comics, books.
Yep.
I don't know what else. Radio. Old time radio.
Yeah. Kinescopes.
Yeah. So
Lumiere Brothers short films,
any
that
fictional characters that you want, that you think like basically like your top four, or not even that you have to rank them, but like these would be like, these are it for you.
Right. Yeah. We're not going through them in order of a rank per se. It's just like four of our faves.
Yeah. And we're going to maybe talk a little bit about each of them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Especially since we probably won't all know each other's characters.
Very true.
And in the rare case, I doubt this will be the case, but in the rare case that we do pick, someone picks the same character as someone else, we do have some backups, I believe, in play.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Hopefully we have more than four prepared. I got a few. I think I have six. All right. I don't mind kicking us off.
Yeah. So I think the order we should go, what with it being a draft, the way it would usually go for something like this is it would be, say, Lee, Brendan, Chris, Chris, Brendan, Lee, Brendan, Chris, and just sort of like a snake serpentine back and forth, because the idea is that the person to go third goes twice, like goes two times in a row because they went
got
third.
It. So it comes back. It's like it goes to the end and it comes back.
Right. Yeah. So like Lee, we can start with you. Then we'll do me. Then we'll do Chris, then me, then you, then you, me, Chris. Yeah.
Got it.
So if you want to kick us off, I'll say do it.
I'll kick
do
us it. Off. My first character, and this was the reason for wanting to do this episode in the first place, is a guy named Kim Kitsuragi from a video game, Disco Elysium.
Yes.
And literally, the reason why I volunteered to go first is because it is the only character that I worried Chris might also pick. It was a strategic move to get out ahead of everyone else and just put Kim out there.
So if I can just have just a quick moment to interject, I did consider him. And then it occurred to me that you would probably want him. And so
so that's nice.
He's a wonderful character, but I'm like, I have a feeling Lee's love for him is even greater than mine. So
I put him on this list. He is the character that I thought like, I think if you don't like this person, there is actually a problem with you. And I would stand by that. I would like show them like footage of this game. And if you're like, man, this guy's an asshole or I hate this guy, I'd be like, you got a problem. Fix your heart. So like in short, like this is a game where like you're an amnesiac cop. And what you know about your life before is that you were a piece of shit. You were like an alcoholic. Your life was a fucking mess. And the game is like an RPG. You can do whatever you want. You can try to be a good person or you can continue to be a piece of shit. You can be so horrendous in this game if you really want to. And this guy will be your partner for the game. no matter what the fuck you do. Mm-hmm. And he will just sit there and try to baby and like steward you along and steer you towards like fucking solving the case that you guys have to solve together. And he has the patience of a saint. And he comes with like his own issues and like his own flaws. Like he's not like an actual like paragon of virtue or anything. Like he has his own issues, but like he keeps that shit under wraps. It is his own. It's his own problem to deal with. And like with the character, like with you, like I think it's obviously some of that's mechanical where like you don't want this character who's kind of like your sidekick to like disappear from the game. But like it's mm-hmm. nearly impossible to get rid of him.
Although I do like that if you do succeed in getting rid of him, instead you take a feral child along with you.
Yeah, you take well, it's sort of like he sort of puts himself with you at that point. Yeah, the only really way to get rid of him is like to sort of like fuck up so bad that he gets shot. At one point, and he has to go to the hospital.
They just have like such good character chemistry. Like he's such a good foil.
Yeah, he's an incredibly good foil. He's like he's deadpan. He's dry. The voice actor, it does like amazing work in kind of communicating. Like there's like bits where you start to see that facade crack. Where like sometimes your character can say something so stupid that you can like hear the voice actor in response try not to laugh. Like I remember there's a bit where you're thinking like, oh, I have to say something cool, and you do it, but what comes out of your mouth is like, it's time to rock with our cocks, and like Kim says like, what did you say? And you can like hear him like laughing. He's like, no, I don't think you said it right. Could you say that again? So yeah, a great character. And absolutely, like if you're having a mount character more, like I don't know what we're doing with these characters beyond maybe like having a statue of them or like but like if you had this guy in your life would change for the better. 100%. You would mm-hmm. be making changes.
Mm-hmm.
You would want to be better for him. That's my first one.
All right. So I guess I will go on to my first choice. And I feel like this is probably an obvious one for me. But my choice was Leia Organa from the Star Wars movies and associated media. And the reason, of course, I would go with Leia is because partly she's Carrie Fisher, which just means that she's a great choice to begin with, because anything Carrie Fisher does is at least interesting. So you've got that going for you. She is kind of the only woman in the original trilogy. I know mm-hmm. there are other minor female characters, but they all barely count because they don't have anything to do. So if you're looking for some sort of representation as far as women go, you have to look to Leia. And thankfully, Leia is a pretty good character for that sort of thing. She doesn't take shit from anyone. Mm-hmm. She's smart and she's a good shot. She knows what she's doing. She's a capable leader. She's constantly fighting for, you know, what is right. And even in like the sequel trilogy, it's something that, you know, you see with her, like this is what she has devoted her life to. She has devoted her life to, you know, this cause, which I think is a pretty admirable quality for someone to have. So she's also a space wizard, which is fun. She gets the lightsaber, which is cool. I mean, she does or she doesn't, depending on, you know, what you're seeing in the movies or what canon, blah, 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 arguments I don't want to get into. But, you know, she has, you know, space magic abilities as well. So if that's the sort of thing you're looking for, if you're not impressed enough by just like a woman who is able to, you know, be in charge, she's also a wizard. So you've got that going for you too. So for me, that felt like kind of an obvious choice. I needed to represent Star Wars in some capacity, and she felt like probably my favorite character.
Well, and you knew that I was going to choose Jabba the Hutt, so you had
naturally
to pick someone else.
Yes, I had to cancel out your choice.
Do you want to touch Jabba?
Yes.
Feel the texture of Yabba.
I hope you get to touch him finally. You think at this point, now that Andor is over, surely he should just get to touch him.
I do like to think of him just bring me some baby.
Bring me some baby. The Yabba.
Okay, so I guess that it is my turn. My first, at least in my mind, this feels incredibly characteristic as a choice for me. But it is Jane Krakowski's 30 Rock character, Jenna Maroney, who I have long regarded as God's most perfect monster. I find her to be endlessly hilarious. I think she gets so many great like bits and lines. I love what a completely demented, like unhinged take it is on a like just like a celebrity in general, but especially one that's like very D-list and is always trying to like hustle her way up. I think of her quotes all the time. I especially think of, you know, she's not like a subtle character. Like her actress, she came up in like musicals and whatnot. But there's some episode where she's hatching a secret plan and she sings a little song about it where it just goes, secret plan, betrayal on my mind. And then just belts, secret plan.
I remember it's that so well.
Good. It's so good. I also just wanted to throw out there, her comedic chemistry with Tracy Morgan was so good, and they were both just wonderful chaos agents together. So I even just love Jenna more than when she kind of played the same character in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So yeah, Jenna's my number one pick for sure.
Very nice.
Awesome.
And you get to go again then.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Let me take a look at my list. Okay. This one is a more recent character, but it is one that I've gotten really into. And it is the Carol from Pluribus, performed by Rhea Seehorn. I love that, I find her, I almost said, well, she is quite angry. I find her anger and her kind of like semi-misanthropy to be like so compelling to watch. I love, especially in the earlier episodes where she kind of engages in like very flippant or like sarcastic acts of like rebellion against the others, the hive-minded people. I love her responses to things. I even just like, even if it's a quip or like there's, she has a lot of like, I think really relatable kind of like outrage to what she's seeing. But then I also just love that you watch this character get somewhat seduced by what the others can give her. Anyway, it's just, it's a character that is both very funny, but incredibly dramatically compelling. And if it does not win Rhea Seehorn an Emmy, I'm going to riot. So yeah, she's
nominated for a Globe.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, because I mean, the Globe's already happened. So, you know,
I guess the question would be, did she win a Globe?
Yes.
What does the internet tell you?
Golden Globe.
That's what I'm looking
for. Best performance in a
drama. She won a Golden
series.
Globe, yeah, for best actress in TV drama. So there you go.
Well,
you can shut up now.
Well, but it's not an Emmy.
I know. Golden Globes don't count. Anyways.
Back to you.
Back to me, I guess. So second on my list then. I was trying to think for something like this. You need a character who embodies sort of the best aspects, I think, of humanity. Like the best things that we can possibly offer. You know, someone who just, if there were more of this character around, the world would be a better place. And to find someone who embodies the best aspects of what humanity can be, I had to look elsewhere, to my good friend Paddington Bear. Paddington, of course, being the star of the three Paddington movies, multiple children's books and TV shows. I think I'm pulling mostly from the movies here, because that's probably what I know best. But shouldn't we all have someone in our lives who's just sort of like unfailingly sweet and kind and makes the world a better place just by being that kind of person? Yeah. Someone who makes your neighborhood just a better place because they're so nice to everyone. People who are dicks to each other become nice to each other just because he's so nice to them. Even that awful Peter Capaldi becomes a good character just because Paddington is such a little sweetie. Wouldn't that be nice to have? Wouldn't it be nice to just have a Paddington in like every community throughout the world, just making everyone get along a little bit better? That's why I would have to include Paddington.
I that feels especially relevant.
I know.
In capital letters, today's world.
Yes. Yes, very much.
All right. That's a good one. I was going to do one of my other ones next, but I'll switch because on a sort of similar note, although not actually that similar, but of like characters that are like just really nice guys. It's hard to describe to maybe categorize this as a character per se in the same way, but one of my other characters is R. Daniil from the Isaac Asimov book series, introduced in like a trio of books where like a human detective, he is a robot, a humaniform robot, and he follows like the Asimovian three laws of robotics.
Yeah, right.
So he's like bound by those. So like technically he's not allowed to not be nice, because it's not like he's not allowed, but it's basically like if they violate the laws, it basically like freezes their brain. Like they kind of just like it, they kind of just like hit, like stroke themselves out essentially. And if they do that too much, they will eventually like fully shut down and kind of break. I don't know if it's like irreparable, but like the laws aren't like, oh, they can't do it. Like they can sort of fight against it, but it will like freeze their brain up because it's like programmed into their brain that this is bad. And so they're fighting a lot of programming. So essentially, yeah, in the time of the original books, like it's mostly like weird sort of buddy cop human detective who hates robots and nice robot who really has no concept of hate or really isn't capable of hating and just wants to help solve a crime and be really nice and helpful, solve crimes together, and how they like gradually Art and Neil just being so like eminently like understanding and helpful and patient and kind, like kind of opens up Elijah to like this idea that like he starts to like see humanity in Daniil before like even the people, like the spacers who build and make robots, see humanity in them, and is like, I don't see the difference. Like Elijah eventually goes from like, I hate robots, they're awful and stupid, and they're taking human jobs away, etc., to like this is my friend Daniil, he is my buddy, we are friends. And like likewise you see that as well in Daniil. Like Daniil grows more complex in the three books that you see them in. It's like very, it's really small and infinitesimal, but like you see a tiny bit of growth. You can see him like fight programming at times, because there are times when he has to like defend Elijah against like other humans, which is like really tough. And also there are like just like looking at violence being committed upon humans is like harmful to robots. So there's like times where he has to like be helped out. And I haven't read much beyond like these books, but like Daniil as a robot doesn't like necessarily die ever, provided his like parts and everything are like up to date. So like he lives on through like the vast majority of a lot of Asimov works. He's not there, but like he's always present, to the extent that like Foundation, which is like the last set of books, it's like there's like the beginning ones, which I forget what they're called, then there's like the Empire era, and then there's the Foundation, which is like after the Empire starts to fall. He's like still alive and kicking. He's gone through multiple like transformations. His brain's gotten more complicated. They eventually, him and another robot, invent a zeroth law, which is that if something is dangerous to mankind, it must be dealt with or something. So like it basically allows them to supersede the first law of can't hurt humans, because mankind is more important than one human.
Right.
So like there's a lot of really cool shit with Daniil. He is just like played out, like the way that you see this character played out scene to scene is just the same. It's just like watching someone get really angry at this guy who's just like, sorry that you're angry with me. Like, it's like, what can I do about it? But he's like not, it's not like a puppy dog thing, because he also is, as a robot, like vastly intelligent. I just love this character. Great sort of, I love robot characters in general. I like kind of dealing with like whether or not something is sentient or human or not. And they kind of reach a point where it's like, well, yeah, there's not like he's not like human, his brain is different, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have or shouldn't have like agency, or isn't like capable of making independent thoughts and decisions. So it's an interesting book, and I perhaps like dated in some ways by Asimov being from the 70s and all, but still like a lot of good stuff to talk about there. And I come back to that book series a lot.
I mean, it's not for no reason. Like Foundation is just wrapping up its big like glitzy TV adaptation, so like there is still like interest and relevance out there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Foundation is, from what I can tell, like a wild space opera that has like very little to do with the books. And there, Demerzel, who is Daniil, is in that show, but like a very different iteration, I think, than you would see, than like one that's from the books, from what I could tell. But like the lady that you see in that show with the blonde hair, who's like very, she's Daniil, essentially.
Right.
Or was once Daniil. But
and then became this like seneschal to the immortal emperor.
Yes. Yeah, they do a whole weird thing there. A lot of that stuff is invented, like the idea that the emperors are all clones of each other, that they just keep cloning the emperor. Like that's an invention of the show. Do you know anything about that show, Brendan?
No, I mean, I know it exists, obviously, yeah. But I've not watched it or
Brother
anything.
Brother Day, Brother Dawn, and Brother Dusk, and they're all just, like, different ages of the same clone, and, like, when they age up, they're, like, the next clone becomes the next Brother Day, and then the Brother Day becomes Brother Dusk, and it's, like, time to make a new clone. So
that's
it's, like,
sensible.
It's a genetic empire, so it's literally been, like, the same emperor for, like, the past.
That's a good way to, you know, keep it all in the family. I get it.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's, Do I go again now?
Yeah, you just did one right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so then yes, you go again.
So it's going to come back this way, and then I do my last two, and then it goes back.
So to switch it up, we'll stay in space. My first screen name was The Silent Beatnik. Let's not talk about that. But my second one was Sherlock Prefect, and that was a combination of two characters I like, Sherlock Holmes and Ford Prefect from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, baby. It was like an instant gravitation towards that character when I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I love how this character is like so like weirdly zen, but lives such a chaotic life. Like he has no plan at any time. Just kind of like he's like the king of rolling with it. And just figuring shit out as he goes. Like there's like no thought into it. He has like he's lived a life. He's here for a good time, not a long time, most of the time. And like, you know, not a lot I think could really faze him. Like he's just a great guy, honestly. It's not much to say about him. I just remember really loving him. I loved him in the old BBC TV adaptation. Just kind of struck me as like kind of a fast talking, kind of like easygoing, roll with the punches kind of guy.
Lee, originally I was thinking that my list was very movie and TV heavy, and I was thinking like, oh, what's a good book character that I like? And I was thinking of going to Hitchhiker's Guide, and I had Ford Prefect in mind. I was like, I bet there's a 50% chance that Lee will bring up Ford Prefect. So like, I will stay away from that one.
Yeah. See, I put Sherlock Holmes on this list, but he's kind of in backup territory for me because I'm not gonna lie, like he's more of like a jumping off point for explorations into the character rather than the actual character that Conan Doyle wrote and that we see a lot of the time.
Right.
To talk about like one iteration of Sherlock Holmes is kind of wild to me. like, you know, the Robert Downey Jr. one, which would not be high on the list anyway for me.
Yeah.
But like before Prefect, in any iteration, I'll take. Like I just love that character. I love the concept. I carried a leather satchel and a towel around for a couple years after I first read that book. I'm not gonna lie. I mean this character.
I was gonna say the book spells out its reasons behind having it, and they're good reasons. So yeah. You know what? Good for you,
good
I
to
say.
Have a towel. Yeah.
Yes. So I guess going off of that then, the character I would jump to next is perhaps similar in vibes to sort of, so when I was thinking about Paddington, my thought was that like, well, there is another character who I was debating about including, but I think that they share too much in terms of broad characteristics with Paddington, so I wanted to look elsewhere. So if I looked elsewhere, perhaps one or two characters to the left or right of this character, I would come across, of course, Gonzo the Great, the beloved Muppet. And I just think that while Kermit was the initial thought that I was thinking, that I was like, well, Kermit is a little too close to Paddington in terms of overall vibes. Kermit gets a little angrier sometimes, and you know, he's not quite as calm and gentle as Paddington, but overall there's a sort of similar je ne sais quoi there. Whereas with Gonzo is a lunatic who wants to fuck chickens, and he shoots himself out of cannons. He is consistently doing bizarre performance art that really only appeals to himself, but it appeals to him, and that's why he keeps doing it. And I think there's probably a lesson there for something like Gonzo. The idea that even if you're doing something extremely bizarre and extremely personal that no one else would relate to except you, maybe it's worth doing still just for the hell of it, just because it appeals to you in some way. And, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have a little weirdo on your bracket. So I think Gonzo would be my third choice.
Just a good Muppet.
Yeah, he is.
Would you say he's also like maybe the least problematic case of bestiality?
It's consensual, so yes.
What, they both want it.
Yes.
Camilla, right?
Isn't Camilla, that yes. Camilla the chicken, who is Gonzo's love interest, but also a chicken.
Okay, so my third character is from a... a Gone Too Soon animated series called Scavenger's Reign that I was really into. It was on HBO Max, and then they sold it to Netflix, who has it now. But it's basically about a large spaceship that had like tons of people in it breaking up over a planet, and a handful of those people survived the crash down onto the planet, and it's following different threads as you're following different people in their like efforts to survive in this world that is beautiful and surreal, but also incredibly dangerous and kind of scary. It's really cool. It's really beautifully animated. It's gorgeously voiced and acted, but in particular, I was really, really enamored with the character of Levi, which is a robot that is basically taking significant strides towards sentience. And it starts as just a robot who's there to like protect its human companion, Ozzy, but over time becomes a like vessel for this like strange substance slash consciousness that seems to be coming out of the planet. And it's a lot about this idea of like transhumanism, but it's done in this super beautiful, poetic and like lyrical way. It's just such a really cool character. Alia Shawkat voices them and does a really, really, really good job. She hits with her voice this really great line between, yes, robotic, but giving you some level of emotion. Anyway, I definitely want to rewatch that show again. But yeah, Levi was just like one of my all-time characters because just like philosophical, but also quite sweet. Mm. And then I'm on to my last.
Yep, this is your last.
Am I accurate? Okay. Staying within the realm of cartoons, don't at me. this is a character that has existed in both comic books, but also cartoons. And that is Storm of the X-Men. She's my favorite wow. superhero, bar none.
I can't believe it took this long to get to Storm. Two gays in the room and...
Yeah.
I know. I wanted to save the best for last. I have been obsessed with this character probably since I was like five or six, when I would have like first read the comics and seen the X-Men animated series. I just love that she is so powerful, but incredibly like moral and ethical and like good to people, and is like an incredible leader. I even love the crazy arc the character went through in the 80s. Where she like becomes a like punk vampire. And then there's also like a thing where like she loses her powers and has to like learn how to be a hero without them. And there's also like an arc where she gets like crazy sorcery. I love this character. I appreciate that it's one of the more enduring ones. Like X-Men has a ton of mutant characters in it. And a lot of them are kind of on the revolving door in and out, but she's been like a constant for that team for a really long time. And just for me, she's like the backbone of that whole comic book, that whole world. I'm obsessed with her.
She's got useful powers.
What's incredibly,
doesn't
right?
Does she have like a thing she says a lot?
Wins.
Something like that. Sure.
Time to storm, she says.
No, she really does say wind, though. It's how she summons up wind to make herself fly. Yeah.
I feel like she could just do that without saying it. I don't want to tell Storm how to
do it. Yeah, but it's fun to have a shtick, isn't it?
No, it is. It certainly is. It's nice to have a little like phrase that you shout out when you do your thing.
Branding
so I can't
is
really
important.
Hold against her. No, that is certainly true. She did get that before the rest of us did, I think. Okay, so for my last option, the character I am going to go with, and I had a debate for a little bit because I think I was trying to keep it split between two male characters and two female characters, but I feel like the female character I had in mind is kind of a little too similar to another one of my characters. So the character I'm going to go with, and also just to sort of represent something at least book adjacent a little bit, is Scott Pilgrim from the Scott Pilgrim series. And the thing I like about Scott Pilgrim is, one, I find Scott Pilgrim to be a very relatable character in most respects. Mm-hmm. He's more video gamey than I am, because I'm not super video gamey. I would say I'm just a little bit. But aesthetically, I sort of get where he's coming from. I get where he's coming from as sort of like someone who graduated college and then kind of had no idea what the hell he was going to do with himself for a while, and just sort of was living kind of in a state of, you know, what's the word? I guess like arrested development or something almost. Mm-hmm. So that certainly speaks to me on some levels. I think especially more so the graphic novel, not so much the movie, which I do like a lot, but the graphic novel, just by the luxury of there being six of them, you can go into like a little more detail about character. But I think it's like a common thing that I hear about Scott in the movie is that he's kind of like an unlikable character, or that he's kind of a jerk to people, which like he is. And I think that's kind of the point of him as a character for a lot of it, is that he is kind of an asshole. And especially more so in the graphic novel, the journey is kind of him realizing that, you know, he's not just some sort of like cute little man child who can just kind of indulge whatever whims he wants to and not worry about how he's affecting other people, but instead realizing that the impulsive choices that he's making do affect other people, and that he, you know, he makes other people feel miserable at times because of his own actions. And that's just sort of like a journey that he kind of has to go on, realizing that, you know, he's broken people's hearts, or just made them, you know, miserable or depressed, or he's not been a very good friend because he's ignored someone because he's been off in his own world for so much of this. And I think, frankly, that's kind of the important aspect of Scott Pilgrim that I think warrants him being included here, which is to say that, you know, you can be better. You can learn how to improve yourself. You can learn that what you do affects other people. Mm-hmm. You can learn how to make yourself a better person and not kind of ruin the quintessential, you know, person that you are deep down.
I love that. That was a more emotional direction than I would have expected a Scott Pilgrim take.
What can I say? I wanted to have reasons.
Yeah. All right.
And finish us up, Lee.
All right. My last one. So I'll just briefly cover a backup. So one other backup was Fest from Twelfth Night, which honestly is based off of mostly that one movie where What's His Nuts portrays him. But one of my favorite, a more complicated full character. But
what
the
movie?
One that, huh?
What movie?
The 1998 Twelfth Night with
I thought you said Fall of Night. I
no,
was confused.
Twelfth
okay.
Night.
Twelfth Night. Okay, okay. I got you now. Okay.
Who am I thinking of? Big British actor, old timey. He also was in the Bad Prince of Persia movie.
Ben Kingsley. Okay.
Kingsley.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Kingsley's performance really nailed home like a complex full performance. But not a lot to talk about, and mostly just kind of emblematic of my love for like lonely, isolated men, vaguely melancholic men. Anyway, instead, what I went for my last character is someone that's kind of the opposite of my first pick, whereas like if Kim Kitsuragi would bring like stability and like grounding to your life, Sean Spencer of Psych would bring a like huge amount of like mostly good, like chaos, with a big keeping of fun into your life. Like I think it would be like an absolute fantasy scenario for me to like have been Sean Spencer's sidekick. Like if they just swap out Gus with me and like I'm the one that's getting dragged, and like to have somebody who like is really confident, is like really outgoing, and is really like insane and spur of the moment and reckless and kind of like always wants to take risks and go do crazy shit, mm-hmm. and is really persuasive and like keeps dragging you along and convincing you like this is what you should be doing. We gotta do this. And to have that like that really tight friendship bond where you have all these stupid inside jokes and references niche media all the time, and you know, secret handshakes and stuff, that is honestly like a pipe dream. That's the dream, honestly. Like if I had a genie, that would be my life. I don't need to be Sean Spencer. I would like to be Gus in that scenario and just have Sean Spencer as like the one that's like pulling me along so that I like don't have to make the big choices. I just have to like, you know, argue a little bit and then agree to go along with the stupid plans, and solve crimes along the way. But yeah, it's just a great character. I love, and like the character like does go through some growth, but I just love like the constant level of like the commitment to like, you know, even through change, to remain an utter goofball, and to like keep up your inside jokes and be big and broad and open with your comedy. And like just be authentically who you are, like even in professional scenarios, is such a dream. What a character. A great show. It's like, I went through a lot of like, I wanted a TV character, and I was like going through, I wrote down all the TV shows next to, below this, of like, what are the shows I've stuck with that I remember really well? Mm-hmm. And things like The Mentalist and like New Girl, these are shows that I like. I do think I should honorable mention New Girl, like I would be too torn between Schmidt and Nick because I think that I am like a hybrid of Nick and Schmidt. Like I am like a weird, like atom smashed combination of the two of them. And I right. couldn't pick just one. But if I leaned more in one of those directions, I would have gone for, I think, one of those guys. But there are like there's like the Schmidt side of me and that wants nice things and to have like, you know, fancy drinks and like status. And then there's the Nick side of me that is like, just eat that thing off the floor. It's only been there 10 seconds. It's fine. You know?
I think that's a very good point. That was something I think we probably all had to sort of deal with when we were narrowing this down to like character. Where it's just like sometimes it's just not quite enough of one, you know?
Yeah,
like it's just so hard to pick just one to represent something when like multiple ones might have right. Might and have something mean, that appeal to you.
It doesn't mean you don't love that character. They're still on the pyramid or in the pantheon somewhere.
There's that amazing conversation that Nick and Schmidt have when he tells Nick that he's been cheating on Cece, and Nick is just like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? I didn't break up. What do you mean? And his eyes start crossing because he just doesn't want to deal with this conversation. He's like, I didn't want to choose. Like, you have to choose. What do you think? You'd have a bunch of wives? You got one wife. Great show. But yeah, Sean Spencer's my last one.
Did you have any other backups you want to throw out real quick, just in the interest of?
Not me, but I would love to hear others' backups.
So my other two backups, and then we'll go to Chris real quick. I had three. The one who I mentioned previously, who I said was too similar to another one, is the character of Mia Thermopolis from the Princess Diaries book series, yeah. More so the books than the movie. But I thought that a lot of the qualities I like about her are also fairly similar to another princess, Leia. So I decided to give her the axe, although she does speak to me in terms of, I think, a young person who is obsessed with pop culture and like glib cultural references. So that's something that definitely made the books work for me. The second one was Abed Nadir from Community, which I think is probably an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
And the third was the one, this was like the bottom of the list where like, if by some freak chance I needed to go this deep, which I knew I wouldn't, but like if I did, it was Fraser Crane, who, you know, I don't want to condone anything that Kelsey Grammer does because Kelsey Grammer is a sack of shit. But I do think the character of Fraser Crane is a character that I like a lot, as someone who's like intelligent and pompous, but ultimately like lovable and does do the right thing. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you can be kind of like stuffy and a little highfaluting, for lack of a better word, and putting on airs. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily like a bad person or someone who needs to be constantly deflated, you know?
Yeah.
So that was my thought for those ones.
Frasier was on my TV list, but I like dismissed it kind of early as like, I've mostly moved on from that. And like Frasier's not like, New Girl's probably more modern references for like the kind of people that I thought I would want to be like, or aspire to be like, versus Frasier, which is what I thought I wanted to be like when I was a kid.
No, I think I had a very similar thought for when I was younger too, where it's like, boy, this guy has like, he has got it figured out. This is like the fucking life to have, man.
Yep.
Chris, you got any?
Kim from earlier, but I also, similarly from Community, I had Annie Edison as mine.
Nice. Also good.
Really loved her, but and no offense to her, I think I just kind of...
There are better options sometimes,
yeah.
Right? It's just like, regardless of how good a character is or how much you like them, sometimes they just don't speak to you in this sense as much.
It exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. And also, I did have one other one. I don't think either of you ever watched Mad Men, did you?
I know a little bit of it, and Rich Same. Knows it better, so I'm sure Same if you told that. Me, I could ask Rich what the hell it was.
Well, Joan from Mad Men... She's sort of the like office Cleopatra, like
Who
head secretary
her?
In the beginning. Christina Hendricks.
Okay. If you tell me the actor, I can at least know that. Okay. So yeah, continue.
But she's just like a fascinating character. She kind of starts as this like vision of what a sexual woman in the 60s would have to do to get ahead in the professional world. Mm-hmm. But that like turns and curdles in these really fascinating ways. And like she has to put up with so much shit, even when she's like a partner in the company in one season. So just like she's both glam and fab and mother, but also a very compelling character who's like having like walls of shit fall on her all the time.
Is she mother exclamation point?
Lowercase M mother exclamation point.
Yeah.
calligraphy font or whatever that is.
Yeah. All right. Guess this was a fun one. I like
this.
Another draft at some point, because drafts are relatively straightforward and we know what we're getting into.
And they're fun. I like doing it. All right, guys. Well, check back in with us in 2 weeks. I'm twitching
get
it
back
up.
At us.
Yep.
And we will be talking about Chances Are.
Chances Are
then,
we will.
Chances Are we won't. You won't see us until then.
No. Well said.
All right, guys. Amen. Let's buy it out.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.